Let's pray for the Lord's blessing on the reading and preaching of this word. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would feed us, your sheep, with our Savior, in the power of your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you would turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 145. Psalm 145, which is found on page 850 if you have a Bible from the back. Psalm 145. We'll also be looking at Lord's Day 45. Lord's Day 45 in the Catechism, which is found on page 893. 893 in the back of your Trinity Psalter hymnal. Psalm 145. We'll read the entirety of the psalm, but we'll be focusing our attention on verses 18 and 19 of Psalm 145. This is a psalm that starts the grand doxology, the grand culmination of glorifying God for all of His mighty works and all that He is. This starts it. 145 through 150, it's all grand doxology. And this is the psalm that starts that final section of the Psalter. And so let's look together at Psalm 145. I will extol you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another, and shall declare your mighty acts. I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works. Men shall speak of the might of your awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness. They shall utter the memory of your great goodness and shall sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All your works shall praise you, O Lord, and your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord upholds all who fall, and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look expectantly to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, gracious in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He also will hear their cry and save them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth shall speak of the praise of the Lord, and all flesh shall bless his holy name forever and ever. And we're looking again, I'll read verses 18 and 19. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He also will hear their cry and save them. And then looking at Lord's Day 45. Lord's Day 45. Question answer 116. Asks, why do Christians need to pray? Answer, because prayer is the most important part of the thankfulness God requires of us. And also because God will give his grace and Holy Spirit only to those who continually and with heartfelt longing ask God for these gifts and thank him for them. Question answer 117 asks, how does God want us to pray so that he will listen to us? Answer, first, we must pray from the heart to no other than the one true God, who has revealed himself to us in his word, asking for everything he has commanded us to ask of him. Second, we must fully recognize our need and misery so that we humble ourselves in God's majestic presence. Third, we must rest on this unshakable foundation. Even though we do not deserve it, God will surely listen to our prayer because of Christ our Lord, as he has promised us in his word. Question answer 118 asks, what has God commanded us to ask of him? Answer, everything we need spiritually and physically, as embraced in the prayer Christ our Lord himself taught us. Question answer 119, what is this prayer? Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are in the gratitude section of the Catechism, and we have left in the gratitude section, we've left the exposition of the Ten Commandments, and now we are into the section that exposits the Lord's Prayer. It is a section in the Catechism where I think we should really cherish what our forefathers in the faith have handed down to us. There are many places in the Catechism where you can see that this is not a cold doctrinal document, but it is a document written by men that had a living, loving relationship with the Lord and wanted to explain the truths of God from the vantage point of that relationship. As we continue on in Lord's Day 46, which explains further who we are praying to, and then going on especially to Lord's Days 47 through 52, in those explanations of each petition of the Lord's Prayer, those answers are actually written as prayers to be prayed by us and all of God's people. It's really masterful work that we have been handed down to us. But first, the writers of the Catechism want us to understand the importance and privilege that we have to pray. And they don't do so from this stoic, cold, thou shalt pray because thou shalt pray. It isn't like that at all, is it? It would be sufficient that the reason to pray to the Lord is because he commanded it. That certainly would be enough. We see that in part, though explained in a totally different way in question answer 116. But the Catechism writers give us another reason. Prayer is a natural and necessary product of our salvation and our relationship with the Lord. We're going to take up three questions about prayer and see the answer to them in Psalm 145, though paying close attention to verses 18 and 19. The questions that we're going to consider are these. To whom are we praying? What confidence should we have praying to the Lord? And finally, why is it so good for us to pray? So first, taking up the question, to whom are we praying? As we look at Psalm 145 as a whole, we see something really, truly beautiful here. We see that the one whom we worship, the one whom we sing to and pray to, is the Almighty God, the God who has made all things and takes care of all things. He is the one that made all creation, and all creation is upheld by his almighty hand. With this, we see that in the course of history, this one true and eternal God has worked mightily and savingly for his people. We pray to the God who is the Savior of his people. We look back at the Old Testament, And truly, there are numerous times that the Lord either miraculously or through natural means saved his people. Whether it was the exodus from Egypt, or to the conquering of the promised land, to the deliverance from oppression during the time of the judges, to the raising up of David and the guiding, providential guiding of that stone that sunk deep into Goliath's head, to saving King Hezekiah and the people of Judah from the Assyrians, to disciplining his people even with the exile under Babylon, but saving Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from the fiery furnace and Daniel from the lion's den. Sending his people back to the promised land and saving them from further threat of destruction by Queen Esther. And then, of course, we come to the New Testament and we have the culmination of all salvation in the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has saved us by his one sacrifice on the cross and raised us up in life and victory. Our God truly is an awesome God as we consider his mighty works. And we consider his mighty works to save us. Not only this, but the one true God that we worship and pray to is gracious and compassionate, patient and great in his covenantal love and tender mercy for us. As we read in verses 8 and 9, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and great in mercy, or chesed, that covenant faithful love. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. This is who our God is. God is these things. This is all necessary knowledge for us to know, but I want to draw our attention to what is said in verse 18. The Lord is near. The Lord is near to all who call upon him. Our God is near to us. He is not only so far above us that we cannot completely comprehend him or understand him. His power is not only so far beyond us that we can't grasp it either. Not only is our God transcendent, children, that's a fancy word that describes that God is so far above us that we cannot completely comprehend any part of him, any aspect of him, any part of his personality and his character. We can't fully grasp it because he's transcendent. He's eternal and infinite God. And yet, we not only believe that our God is transcendent, but also that he is immanent. He is immanent. Meaning, he is down here with us. That's the beauty of what happened with the building of the tabernacle at Mount Sinai. And that the Lord himself descended and filled the Holy of Holies. And his glory filled the temple, or the tabernacle and the temple later. That's the beauty of what happens there, is that God is coming down and dwelling with his people. He is near to us. He is with us. And even more so do we see this beauty, of course, when Jesus comes. Emmanuel, God with us. God came down and became man to dwell among us, and not only now, but for all eternity. And when we reach glory, Jesus shall dwell with us both spiritually and physically. This is the God that we pray to. We pray to our Heavenly Father who sent us His Son, who dwells in us by His Holy Spirit. Think about those powerful manifestations where God filled the tabernacle and later the temple. You think about that. The smoke and the earthquakes and the radiant glory of God. What is the truth that is declared to us in the New Testament? That we now, our bodies, are temples of the Holy Spirit. That God is as near to us as could possibly be. He is in us. We can talk to the God who is near. He is with us, lives within us, made us His dwelling so that we are temples of the Holy Spirit. We do not pray to a God who is far away, or a God that does not hear us, or a God that is too busy for us. Our God is near to us in the fullest sense of that word. And if this is the God that we pray to, what confidence should we have that the Lord will hear us and answer us? We literally have no reason, to doubt whether our triune God will hear us and answer us. He made us. He knit us together in our mother's womb. He takes care of us. Everything from the spiritual life we enjoy to the very next breath that we breathe, He takes care of it all. He has promised to be our God and that we are His people. And He is able and willing to do all things necessary to secure our perfect salvation even through all the storms of life. We see this so clearly demonstrated on the cross. But that is the depths to which the Father was willing to send His Son. That is the depths to which Christ was willing to go in order to save us. So that we could be near to Him. And Him to us for all eternity. So when we pray, what kind of confidence should we have when we pray to our God? All the confidence we can muster. Because regardless of how we are feeling, regardless of how close we feel to the Lord in that moment, the infallible truth of the Word of God is that He is near. He is near. How glorious of a truth that is for us as we walk through the wilderness of this life. That we know that we can always talk to the One who is all-powerful, all-gracious, all-loving, full of salvation and truth, and near to us. Near to us. Would we not go to our God early and often? Would we not make it our regular habit to pray without ceasing, to bring everything to the Lord in prayer? What a wonderful privilege, brothers and sisters. What a wonderful privilege it is for us to carry everything to the Lord in prayer. He says we can. Why wouldn't we? Why wouldn't we? I remember hearing a story of a counselor to business professionals. There was all apparently CEOs with all the money and power that they have. They get stressed out a lot. Guess they're no different than the rest of us. But this counselor was coming and giving advice to all these CEOs and big managers of these big corporations. And he said, what you need is an unconditional listener. He said, there's no human being that is going to be that for you. Because eventually after you tell someone all the things that's wrong with you, all the things that's wrong with the world around you, and you just sort of give them everything inside you, right? Eventually they're going to get sick of you. No human being can be that unconditional listener to you. And so the secular counselor's advice was, get a dog. Get a dog. What a horrible thing. What a horrible advice. I'm going to talk to this dog. It has no idea what I'm talking about. Can't give me any answers. Just going to be there. And yet, brothers and sisters, we have this blessed privilege to come before the one that is the unconditional listener. Our God. The one that will listen to every single one of our cries, no matter how pathetic they are. The one that is near to us, always ready to listen. What a privilege. What a blessing. When you feel so alone, as we sometimes do, we must preach to ourselves these glorious truths. That the Lord, the God of all creation, is near to me. He will hear me. He will answer me. When you think that you don't need to pray, then you must preach to yourself this truth that apart from Him, you can do nothing. He is the one that made you and redeemed you. The more you feel you don't want to pray or that you don't have enough time to pray, it is even more necessary for you to pray. Go to Him early and often. And this then brings us to our last point. And before we get to the question of why is it so good for us to pray, I want to introduce that question with another question. You have heard it said, prayer has the power to change. The question is, the power to change who? The Bible clearly teaches that God has foreordained all things that shall come to pass. So obviously my prayer isn't going to change His mind on anything. So who does prayer change? Us. In prayer, while we are confessing our sin, while we are praising God and thanking God and asking God to help us and others, He is giving us grace and peace, as we read there in question answer 116. And this leads us then into our last question. Why is it so good for us to pray? This may seem like a silly question. It might seem like an obvious question. I hope it is. But it is so good for us to pray because it is one of the ways that God imparts to us His grace. It is one of the means that He uses. And I want us to answer that question, and we can answer that question and look, because of course the grace of God is no small thing, and we can't cover that in one sermon. But I want us to look just at verse 19 of Psalm 145. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear Him. He also will hear their cry and save them. Why is prayer so good for us? Because, as I said, it's one of the ways that God Himself imparts to us His grace. And as we read in question answer 116, God will give His grace and Holy Spirit only to those who continually and with heartfelt longing ask God for these gifts and thank Him for them. This, of course, only makes sense. Because as we read in James 4 last week, God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. There is no more humbling thing than to pray. This is why guys, when they're lost, do not ask for directions. Because they're too prideful to ask for help. It is a humbling thing to ask for help. And the only godly response to receiving help is thanksgiving. And so when we pray, it must be both. But this is what we see in Psalm 145, verse 19. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear Him. Those who fear the Lord have a humble reverence for Him, for who He is. And so those who humbly and with a sincere heart ask God for His grace will receive it. And to get to an even more important point, the action of sincere prayer is one of the greatest things that we could do to break down our pride. We recognize that in order for our pride to be broken, the Lord must act. But we can do things too. We must walk in step with the Spirit, right? And the greatest thing that we could do to break down our pride in step with the Spirit of God is to pray. Because when we pray, we are coming to Him. It is one of the greatest ways that God Himself tears down the idol of self in us. We all naturally want to think that we're pretty great, we're pretty powerful, we're pretty good. We all naturally want to think that. What a humbling thing it is for us to get on our knees and confess our sins. Confess our helplessness. Ask for forgiveness. And ask for help in all aspects of life. And what does Psalm 145:19 say essentially? If we fear the Lord, if we humble ourselves in His sight and pray with sincerity and truth, He will fulfill our deepest desires. The desires that only He can fill. The desires that only He can fill. Desires to be divinely loved, divinely cherished, divinely cared for, divinely protected, divinely forgiven, divinely at peace, divinely nurtured, divinely strengthened in all divine intimacy. Those are the deepest longings of our hearts, whether we recognize it all the time or not. Those are our deepest desires. And we know that in our sinful heart we would seek to have those desires filled with all kinds of things in this world, and yet we know the answer. When we try to do that, it will end up in vanity. We'll end up as nothing. We will end up just as empty as we started. But when we go to the Lord, when we go to Him, we know we will be filled. We know we shall receive. Is that not what Jesus promised? Ask, and you shall receive. Knock, and the door shall be opened to you. Seek, and you shall find. And probably the most difficult thing that we have to do on a daily basis is acknowledge our sin. Acknowledge our failings. Own up to the destruction that we've caused. And yet, what does the Lord say to you and me here? He will hear their cry and save them. It doesn't say He might hear their cry and might save them. He will hear their cry and save them. It does not matter the struggle. It does not matter the sin. It does not matter your weakness. It does not matter that thorn in the fret, in the flesh that you pray for the Lord to remove from you. It does not matter. The Lord, in His grace, is able to overcome all. Is able to sustain you in it all. And is able to give you victory over it all. That is the truth. That is the blessed and glorious truth that we get to live in every single day of our lives. This is the promise. This is the truth. And so, brothers and sisters, the Lord Jesus, by His death and resurrection, has provided us the pathway to the throne room of God. Would we not come? Would we not come early and often, praying with great confidence in His promises, ask and receive. Let us not neglect so great a privilege. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, You know the temptation in our hearts to be self-reliant. We all want to be independent. That is, from the earliest of ages, we all want that. From the child that wants to feed themselves and can't, to us who want to live holy lives before Your face in our own strength and can't. Lord, You know our helplessness. And yet, we see Your power and Your grace, in that never for a moment are You far from us, but You are always near to help us. Lord, help us to see You in our lives, and help us quickly to run to You in our lives. We think we can do it in our own strength. We so often forget to pray to you for help. We so often, even after having received your help, forget to pray to thank you for your help. Lord, keep our eyes fixed on you. May, as we go through this life, pray without ceasing. May we talk with you early and often, not because we have to, but because we want to. And as we pray, keep at the forefront of our minds where we are, that we are in your presence, that we have been ushered behind the veil in Christ, that we may talk with you as your children. Remind us of this great, blessed privilege that is ours. Help us not to neglect it. Forgive us when we do. And may you wash us clean in the blood of Christ and assure us of the robes that we wear, a righteousness of Christ. In whose name we pray. Amen.